All right. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. After the angel had spoken to these shepherds, there was a massive group of angels, a huge group. Must have been the most astounding, shocking thing human eyes have ever laid eyes on and human ears have ever heard. Imagine the sound. How many have ever been by to Niagara Falls? This loud, roaring sound of water. Deafening. You can't, if you're close enough, you can't hear anybody talking. I mean, it's amazing. And that sound would be nothing compared to the sound of these angels. And this message that they said, here's what they said. The astounding sound, unbelievable, and here's what they said. Glory to God in the highest. Now, I want to just say this. That is the single most important truth that creation needs to know, and the single most important purpose of creation on any level is to bring glory to God in the highest. Above everything else, I'd say above the story of redemption, glory to God in the highest. Above the stories of miracles, glory to God in the highest. Above everything else written, glory to God in the highest because of his matchless, flawless, perfect character. His omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, and every other omni you can imagine, he is to be glorified. Glory to God in the highest. And he is worthy of our attention, worthy of our affection, and certainly worthy of our praise above everything else in life. Amen? Young people need to remember this, that God is holy and worthy to be praised. Glory to God in the highest. He is not one to be trifled with. He is perfect and just and holy and has decreed many incredible things. And here he is to these shepherds in a field, and he's giving them this word, and he says to them, these angels have this message, glory to God in the highest. It's the first thing out of their mouths. And they've been with him for eternity past, this host of angels, these created beings who saw God and knew God and watched God and heard God's voice and saw his face. Glory to God in the highest, above everything. And then this. And on earth, peace. What a bizarre thing to say during that time period to a group of people that were occupied by Rome with all the violence and wars and everything that goes along with that. In the midst of all the evil of the world comes this voice of angels that says peace on earth. I think our faith is in place today because peace has invaded our difficulty. Somehow we don't understand it. The difficulty often never changes. The pain often doesn't go away. But the mystery of our faith is that there can be peace present in darkness. And it's because, glory to God in the highest, he has given us Christ. And so we have peace on earth. And then, this other strange comment, goodwill toward men. You're standing in a field with fellow shepherds, and we talked about what the shepherd's job was like. And they're looking out for bad things to happen. Wolves, hyenas, lions, leopards, bears, whatever. And then this light shining comes, and you're like, we've fought off some pretty bad things, but this is going to be really bad. The aliens are here. Close encounters of the angelic kind. And this is their message, peace on earth. There was a song written, a lyric written by an amazing writer, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And the story is told, he's at his kitchen table on a Christmas morning, and he's feeling the way a lot of people feel from time to time at Christmas. It's right around 1864. Wadsworth and the United States were in the middle of a civil war. And he had was still reeling from his wife's death 3 years earlier. His wife died. Terrible death. And he had just received word that his son had been severely wounded in battle, paralyzed, near the Potomac or somewhere like that. And he writes these words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. He told someone as he was writing this poem later on that the first line came from his head and not his heart. And as much as he wanted those words to ring true to him, he was having a lot of trouble with it. Sinking deeper and deeper into despair, he's thinking about his wife's death while he's writing this poem. She was sitting by a windowsill or on a windowsill trying to light something, and her dress caught on fire. And she burst into flames, and he tried to put the flames out with a blanket, burned his hands, burned his face so bad he couldn't even attend his own wife's funeral. So he writes the next line, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I was reading somewhere as I was thinking about this. I'd heard this and I was reminded of this, and I don't know why I haven't thought of it. Grief is what many people say, grief is love that has no place to go. I remember when my dad passed and I wanted to see him. And when anyone has ever lost a loved one knows this to be true. Grief is love that has no place to go. But Longfellow, during this time, he was a man of faith, and he knew that if faith doesn't work in the worst of times, it doesn't work at all. So believing in a story of an angel who announces the birth of a Savior to shepherds watching their flocks, he reached the conclusion that really transformed this poem into one that's been around for 150, 160 years. And he wrote this last line. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And peace on earth, that message was for you and I. A message from, as Isaiah 9:6 called him, the Prince of Peace. So you kind of wonder, in a time where you're in pain or doubting, or whatever the case may be, what is peace? Peace is being loved and protected. Peace is having inner stability. It's not a feeling. We've talked about this in the past, and people say, well, I don't have peace about that decision, or I'm waiting for God to give me peace about a decision. And I'll tell you this, there are many times I've been in some situations where I had to make a decision and there was absolutely no peace to be found anywhere other than real peace of an inner stability that trusted that God was in control. And knowing that that same God who is in the highest, has never left my best interest aside for a second, and has always had a love for me in mind in every decision he's made about my life. I am so absolutely convinced that God loves me. I am. Much because I have experienced firsthand my own evil and my own weakness, and I know that he's never left me. He has to love me. So where grief may be love that has nowhere to go, peace is when love has found a place in you. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they who love your word. Nothing will cause them to stumble." Isn't that great? When you love God's word, great peace. You'll possess that inner power and inner bravery and inner ability and inner stability in the worst moments of your life. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, All we are like sheep, and we've gone astray. But I love this verse in Romans 5. You know, I want to read it. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Think of this for a minute. How do I have peace with God? First, I am justified by faith. Someone who's never been justified by faith cannot know the peace of God. So this message, goodwill, peace on earth, in the middle of all that was happening, peace in your life, in the middle of all that's going on, in the middle of the crazies, surrounded by lunatics, and filled, a world filled with violence, filled with insanity, filled with deceit. Where is peace? It's found in the human heart, but only in those who've been justified by faith. It'll never be found out there. The Bible says that things are going to get worse and worse. Do you realize that? It's not going to get better. The Bible says it's going to get worse. Times are going to get worse. People's evil will reach new heights. All kinds of levels. You say, "Well, Pastor, this isn't a very encouraging Christmas message." You won't find any more encouragement anywhere than from Christ, who will give you peace in all of that. I want to prepare you for what's ahead. And I want you to be prepared for what's ahead. And being justified by faith is the very first step. But then, great peace have those who love your word. I know believers all over who really, they struggle. They have this inner struggle. They're constantly running around, changing situations, trying to manipulate things. What's that from? Lack of peace? Why? They don't love the word. They don't make biblical decisions. They're not governed by what God says about them. They're not governed by the fact that there's no condemnation. Are you governed? Do you let the fact that there's no condemnation govern the way you think about yourself? You ever thought about that? Your self-thoughts, your self-reflections, are they governed by Romans 8:1? Or are they governed by your experience, which tells you, "Oh, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that"? I think you should let Romans 8:1 govern the way you think about yourself. Amen? Hello? It should. Love the word of God. Peace follows that. Inner stability, inner ability, inner tranquility, all the result of being governed by the word of God and having this peace in Colossians 3:15, rule your heart. How does it rule the heart? That word rule is like I guess you could refer to modern day as an umpire calling balls and strikes. But that word rule means in a sporting event, the official saying what's in bounds, what's out of bounds, what's right, what's wrong. And the umpire behind the plate calling balls and strikes. And peace, the peace of God, when it's ruling your heart through the Word of God, things come at you and you say, no, that's a ball. I'm not going to pay any attention to that. I'm not swinging at that. That's a terrible pitch. I'm not swinging at that. And then peace says to you, here comes one. It's right down the middle. Give it a rip. And you make your biblical decision. See, that's the peace of God ruling your heart. And it takes, you have to really grow in this, letting the peace of God govern your heart. You do. It takes time and it's work. A professional baseball player will tell you they have less than 1 second to decide whether or not they're going to swing at a pitch. Think about something. You're 65 feet away and someone throws a projectile toward you at 90 miles an hour or more. You do not have a lot of time to make a decision. Life comes at you sometimes even faster than that. And to be governed by the Word of God is critical to have peace. And that peace umpires your thought life. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 6, the carnally minded, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded, life and peace. Isn't that what everyone's after? Life and peace. Divine energy and inner tranquility. Divine power and inner tranquility. That's the privilege of the believer whose heart and mind is governed by the Word of God. This is God's intention. These angels are saying, peace on earth, you can have it. And you know what would be the result of that? Because when you have peace with God and you have this kind of inner power, inner tranquility, inner control over your thought life, you know what happens as a result of that? Goodwill toward men. First, there is peace with God, being justified. Then there's the peace of God, which governs the heart. And then there's peace with men and peace with others. Paul, in one of the finest benedictory verses in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, says, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. I love this. This is 2 Thessalonians. Write this down. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Isn't that awesome? So I want to say to you on Christmas morning today, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. Father, bless this congregation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the message of these angels. What a tremendously powerful story. This is a beautiful story, not just to be read to by children or read to children, but enjoyed by everybody. To hear glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. The gospel is the announcement of something drastic changing in the human heart. And the transforming power of the peace of God be with all here today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Merry Christmas.